Welcome to Message of Hope, the radio ministry of Meadowview Church of Christ, located at 6750 Raiders Road in Frazeesburg. Meadowview Church of Christ meets every Sunday with a worship service at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10:15 a.m., and evening service at 6:30 p.m. We invite you to join us. To learn more about the Meadowview Church of Christ, visit us online at meadowviewchurch.com.
Let me get started today with this question. Have you ever wanted something so badly that you began to orchestrate and manipulate situations so that you could get what you wanted? Maybe it was a new job. Maybe you had your eye on this girl or boy that you wanted to go out with. Maybe you wanted a raise, maybe an award. Rather than allowing God to orchestrate things and open up the door in His time, you shoved and you pushed and you pulled and you twisted and you pried until you were exhausted, and still that door remained closed. Have you ever been there before? I read about one young executive who was just named as the new CEO of a very promising and growing manufacturing company. So on his second day in the job, he decided he was going to go down to the break room and just kind of chit-chat with some of the employees there. And he noticed one man who happened to be leaning against the wall outside the break room. And it was during the first lunch hour. They actually had two lunch hours. So half of them went the first hour and half of them went the second. So about an hour later, he goes back and he's going to meet with some of the other guys, and he sees this same guy and he's standing there outside the break room. So he thinks to himself, here's my opportunity. I'm going to make an impression with this guy and with the other employees. So he walks up to the man leaning against the wall, and he says to him in a voice loud enough that everyone in the break room could hear him, just what are you doing? He asked. The man said, well, nothing right at the moment. A new CEO then asked him, how much money do you make in a week? The man says, well, I make about $300. CEO pulls out his wallet out of his pocket. He pulls out $1,200. He said, here, $1,200. This is enough pay for 4 weeks. Now I want you to get out of here right now, and I never want to see you again. Guy says, okay, takes money, puts it in his pocket, and he leaves. And now the CEO's thinking pretty good about himself. He's thinking, now I've established myself. I've got some authority here. He walks into the break room and he notices that the guys are kind of smiling. So he asked one of them, he said, who was that guy anyway? With a chuckle in his voice, the employee said, that was our Domino's pizza delivery man. Yeah, he took that $1,200 and ran. Here's the reason I'm sharing that story. Sometimes the opportunities that we make for ourselves instead of waiting on God's timing don't turn out the way we want or expect. In the Bible, the Apostle Paul occasionally used the word door as a metaphor for opportunity. For example, in 2 Corinthians 2 verse 12, he said, now when I came to Troas for the gospel of Christ, and when a door was opened for me in the Lord. Paul knew that every chance he had to preach and teach about Jesus, regardless of the city that he happened to be in, was a door of opportunity that God had opened for him. He allowed God to open the doors for him, and God opened those doors. In Colossians chapter 4, Paul writes this beginning in verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to proclaim it. So here's Paul, who is in prison, and he was praying for, he was asking others to pray for, he was watching for the door of opportunity to be opened to him. so that he could continue to preach and teach about Jesus. Today, before we talk about some background here and the opportunities that Paul had, the open doors God gave to him, and make some applications for the open doors God will give to you and me, let's ask him for his blessing as we spend a few moments in his word. Let's pray. Our Father, we again thank you for the opportunity we have to be here. We thank you for your word, which teaches us so many wonderful truths. Lord, we know that you are the one who orchestrates things in our lives. You are the one who brings doors of opportunity to us, just like you did for the Apostle Paul. Today, as we reflect on one of those doors of opportunities that Paul had, help us to learn some things that will help us to be aware and to look for doors of opportunity that you open for our lives. And help us to take advantage of those and to walk through them. Father, as always, I need your help to present this message in a way that would be pleasing to you. And I pray that what is said today will be strengthening, encouraging, and challenging to those who are here and those who are listening. We just give you praise, Father, for all that you do for us. And we thank you for all those doors of opportunity that you have opened in the past and will continue to open until Jesus returns. Bless your word in our time is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me just give you a quick background. We're going to take a look at a verse in 1 Corinthians 16 in a moment. But Paul had already spent more than 8 years on two missionary journeys, traveling from city to city. He worked tirelessly. He preached the gospel. He started churches. He faced opposition. And sometimes he even had to flee from those who were wanting to kill him. Well, now he's in Ephesus, and he's on his third missionary journey, and he's writing to some friends back in Corinth. And at the end of his first letter, he's advising them of his travel plans. In chapter 16, he's saying he would like to come and spend some time with them, maybe even in the winter. And he's hoping to make it soon, but then he refers to what he calls a wide door. The title of the message today is God Will Open Your Door of Opportunity. And in this main text in 1 Corinthians 16, Paul is also speaking about a door that God had opened for him. So verse 9 says, "For a wide door for effective service has opened to me, and there are many adversaries." Now, he may not have known it completely at the time he wrote these words, but God definitely was opening a wide door for him in the city of Ephesus. Sometimes our greatest open door is right where we are in the present. In fact, we know Paul ends up spending 3 years in Ephesus, twice as long as he spent anywhere else in his journeys. Now, I believe there are some general conclusions that we can make about Paul's open door and the open doors that you and I will eventually encounter if you haven't already encountered some. When Paul saw that wide door opening for him, first, it was a door of opportunity. Paul said, "A wide door for effective service has opened." Now, Ephesus was not exactly a place where most Christians would probably want to live. Yes, it was a big city. It was one of the major cities in that area. It was a financial and commercial center. There was a lot of money there. People were rich. And Ephesus at that time boasted of one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. It was known as the Temple of Diana or Artemis. It was a beautifully constructed building that took 120 years to complete. So while the outside of this was a marvel to look at, what took place on the inside was an abomination to God. There was all kinds of gross immorality. There was legalized prostitution. All this was a part of the process of worshiping this goddess Diana. Also in Ephesus, the people believed in superstition. They believed in magic. They were constantly looking for soothsayers and fortune tellers to tell them about their future. It was not a place where Christians would normally want to live. But when Paul looked at Ephesus, he saw the hundreds of thousands of people who needed Jesus. He saw the opportunity that was there, and he decided to stay a while longer. Someone has said, and I really like this, that the difference between a pessimist and an optimist is that a pessimist sees a problem in every opportunity, while an optimist sees an opportunity in every problem. And I like that. Paul saw the opportunities. There were so many people who need to hear about Jesus, and Paul was determined to share the gospel with them. I remember reading that after the borders were opened in what was once communist Poland, a man by the name of David Steele was invited to be a guest preacher at a church in Poland. As he spoke to them, he mentioned that he was a part of a group that had purchased Bibles to smuggle into Poland. And when he said that, the people began to cry. And they stood up and they began to clap with tears running down their cheeks because they appreciated the fact that there were people who had provided them with the Word of God. And God eventually opened the door wide for the gospel to be presented in what were formerly communist countries. Today, doors are opening all over the world, and I believe God will open doors of opportunity right here in the Fraseburg and surrounding areas. But there's a question that needs to be asked, and the question is this: how do I know when God is opening a door of opportunity for me personally, for you personally? How do we know that? Well, first, I believe when God opens the door, he opens it wide. You're not going to have to push or twist or pry it open. So let me just share very briefly a few things that will confirm your open door. I believe that you will have a wide open door when your opportunity, number one, fits your talents and abilities. Paul's passion was sharing the gospel. When the lecture hall opened in Ephesus for Paul to use as his base of teaching, it fit his talents and abilities. Open doors will fit your talents and abilities. So having said that, let's say, for example, you love to sing, but you can't sing that well. I can understand that. I know what that's like. I doubt that God is calling you to go to Nashville. I doubt that God is calling you to be a part of the praise team or to lead a song service. But here's what I want you to realize. That's perfectly okay. We've got people that can do that. Here's what I know. God will open a door that fits the talents and abilities that he has given you. Second, you'll have a wide open door when your opportunity will help you to grow spiritually. When you open up a door that God has presented before you, it's going to help you to grow. It's not going to help you to become weaker in your faith. It's not going to undermine your faith. Paul could call his Ephesians ministry a wide open door because it not only helped him to grow spiritually, it helped others to grow as well. Third, you will have a wide open door when your opportunity squares or agrees with biblical values. Now, the Bible certainly supported Paul's goals of teaching the gospel, of giving his time and energy to that noble cause. God will not open a door for teaching anything contrary to his will as already given to us in his word. Now, you and I both know today, there are people who, in the name of Christianity or in the name of the church, have tried to promote the acceptance of things that God has already said was sinful. And it's unfortunate they do that in the name of the church or the name of Christianity. And I'm talking about things like abortion or things like same-sex marriage. God's already spoken about that. You will have a wide open door when your opportunity agrees with the teachings of the Bible. And then fourth, you will have a wide open door when your opportunity gives you a sense of success and achievement. As Paul was getting toward the end of his life, he had spent much time and energy on his journeys, on his preaching and teaching. And One of my two favorite verses that he writes is found in 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. Here's what he said. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. An open door will give you this sense of accomplishment. You can look back on what you have done. You can feel good about it and know there is an eternal reward awaiting you. So an open door is definitely a door of opportunity. Secondly, it's also a door of obligation. Paul wrote that this door has opened to me. He didn't say it opened to Timothy. He didn't say it opened to Barnabas or someone else, even though he had people traveling with him. He said it had opened to him, to me, he said. He felt a personal obligation to stay in Ephesus and to preach the word of God to the people there, even though there were some also deep concerns, as he wrote in 1 Corinthians, about what was happening back in Corinth. We must each realize that I can't do your work for you, and you can't do my work for me. We each have a personal obligation to share the gospel wherever we are. God has in the past, and he is now opening doors, but it becomes my obligation, and it becomes your obligation to walk through the door that God is opening. I want to share a story from a lady by the name of Amy Carmichael, and she talks about a dream she had. Now, I'm not telling this story to say that God's going to speak to you in a dream. I don't know that. I've never had that happen to me, but the point of the story is well taken. So she says she's dreaming one night, and she was in a jungle sitting by this campfire, and as she was watching the fire kind of go up into the sky, she could see a grassy place, a clearing in the jungle, and she see all these people walking in this grassy area. And the grassy area was heading toward this real steep cliff. There was a mother and a little girl clinging to her skirt walking toward the cliff. And no one was saying anything to them, and he could tell that she and the little girl were blind. They both walked right over the cliff. She could hear their screams as they plummeted to their death. Then she saw a little boy walking toward the same cliff. He too was blind. As he was walking, she thought to herself, why doesn't someone say something to them? But no one came. Finally, he too plummeted to his death. And in her dream, Amy Carmichael said, I cried from the depths of my soul. Why doesn't someone tell them about this cliff and warn them of their danger? And she said, I heard the voice of God saying, whom shall I send? And I said, I'll go, I'll go. All right, said the Lord, you are my messenger. Here's why I share that story. I believe that's a picture of our world. There's a cliff and people are walking blindly toward it. Does anybody care? Will anybody stand with Isaiah and say, here I am, Lord, send me? We should feel a divine obligation to share with others the fact that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to avoid. That's the point. There are times when God will call us to do something. He places his hand on us, so to speak, and he's urging us to support something that's very dear to his heart, something that's been mentioned in God's word. And when we recognize that call, we must walk through the open door that God provides. James Dobson answered the call regarding the Larry King interview, and he answered the call to defend family and children his entire life. At times, an open door will strike you as a sense of responsibility. A responsibility to do your best at what you've been called to do. An open door goes beyond, well, I may do this. It goes beyond, well, I'd like to do this. When God opens a door, it eventually gets to the point where we say, I must do this. An open door will be a conviction. There will be a sense in which you feel compelled to do what God is asking you to do. My question to you today is, what door is God opening for you? And are you even looking for it? Do you have a sense of obligation to walk through it? So yes, an open door is a door of opportunity. It's a door of obligation. And finally, an open door will also often be a door of opposition. Look again at 1 Corinthians 16:9. Paul wrote, "A wide door for effective service has opened to me, and there are many adversaries." Paul sensed that the door God had opened was a door of opportunity. He felt obligated to fulfill it, but he also recognized those many adversaries. Paul knew what we must also know is true. There will always be those who oppose the advancement of the gospel. Now, if you go back to Acts chapter 19, I'm just kind of summarizing some things there. You see what Paul's opposition consisted of in Ephesus. I've already talked about the fact it was the second greatest city in the whole Roman world. It was the banking place for all the merchants. Everything seemed to gather around Ephesus. As in other cities, the Jewish synagogues in Ephesus were bitterly opposed to what Paul was teaching. They hated him. They hounded him. So it's against these, as Paul said, many adversaries, that he and the church of Christ that had been established there stood completely opposite to everything for which the city stood. And yet, it had such power and force and effectiveness that it was overturning the economic system of the city. We read there about a man by the name of Demetrius, who made silver idols or shrines for that goddess. And people bought those things, and he made a lot of money. But when the gospel started to be proclaimed and people started becoming Christians, they stopped worshiping idols. Demetrius lost his potential for profit. So he became an opponent of the gospel, and he started persecuting Paul. That's not unusual. There's always been opponents of the gospel. I remember a few years ago, a man by the name of Nicolae Ceausescu was the cruel dictator of the country of Romania. And yet he and his wife were eventually executed by revolutionary forces. He and his wife had held the people in contempt for 25 years. One of the things that they did, which the people hated, he would sell all the good Romanian crops to Russia. But then they would pocket the money while the people were starving. His wife was quoted as saying, "If you give those worms food, they'll just ask for more." She's speaking about the people of Romania. So finally, the people had enough. Revolutionary forces rebelled, took him and his wife prisoner. Both were executed, and the news media showed us the pictures of their bodies. Shortly after their execution, one newscast showed a preacher who climbed a balcony in the square where many communist leaders had previously stood proclaiming the ideals of communism, and he began to speak. His underground name was Brother Paul, and he is one of the native preachers still supported by our churches in the United States today. He stood on that balcony, and as he looked down at the thousands of people gathered there, he began to shout at the top of his lungs, "Our God is alive! Our God is alive!" And the people shouted back in unison, "Our God is alive! Our God is alive!" For the first time in decades, the people of Romania were free. They were free to proclaim their Christianity in the streets of cities throughout the country. God had opened another door. Now, let me ask you this. Do you realize that there are people in this community who are opposed to what we are doing here at Meadowview? There will always be those who oppose you and me in any strides that we may make toward the presentation of the gospel of Jesus. But we must continue to walk through our open doors, even though there will be opponents who criticize and want to defeat us. Now, please understand, the presence of opposition does not mean that you have moved out of the will of God. Facing opposition doesn't mean that God is closing the door. Perhaps the worst opponents to the advancement of the gospel are not its enemies, but nominal Christians who hear and know the message of salvation, but refuse to share it. We know that there are people sitting in pews throughout this land or in chairs. They listen to the sermon each week. They even see blind people wandering toward that cliff that drops into the pits of hell. Yet they go home unmoved and uncaring. Let's be sure that we never turn our back on a door that God has opened for us. And I would add to that, to beware of a wide door where there are no adversaries. All kinds of doors are swinging open. We must seize the opportunities. After we have done all we can to determine how God is leading us, we must then decide and act, leaving the rest to the Lord. If we are in some way out of His will, He has ways of moving us where we need to be. Now, some of you here today may be standing in front of an open door. Do you see it? Maybe your door is the door of a career choice or a career move. I want to encourage you, it's okay to look for something better if you don't like what you're doing now. God will open the door if it's meant to be. You don't have to pry. You don't have to twist or pound. Faithfully do your job, and the right doors will open in God's time. Maybe your door is a door of ministry opportunity. But maybe, just maybe, you have an obligation, or at least you feel an obligation, to start a ministry that we don't have at MetaView. That's happened many times here since I've been here. You can talk to me, talk to Tyler, talk to one of the elders, talk to others if you're not sure. And I believe God will open your door. There's one more door. It's the greatest open door of all. We call it the door of salvation. Don't ignore a sense of obligation you may feel to walk through that door. Because God is still giving all of us, everyone who is not a Christian, the opportunity to walk through the door of salvation. And He will give us that opportunity until Jesus returns. The problem with that is we don't know when Jesus is returning. So today, are you standing in front of an open door?
This is Sam Dunn, and I have the privilege of serving as the evangelist with the MetaView Church of Christ in Fraseburg. I just want to thank you for tuning in to today's broadcast and listening to a message from MetaView. If you do not already have a church home, or if we can help you in any way, you can contact us through our website, which is metaviewchurch.com, or simply call us at 740-828-2536. Thanks again for tuning in, and may God's blessings be with you today.